Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this about talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back everyone to a new episode of the Chillax podcast. I hope all of you are doing well. Today's episode is going to be unedited too. I'm not quite sure whether I have to keep saying this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it for now. It's going to be unedited. All the stupid talks and all the huffing and puffing, the stammering. Okay, about the huffing and puffing, right, is I don't know, I just feel like getting sick again, then my nose is blocked. And it's very annoying when you have to record and then your nose is blocked. Then when you are editing, right, or you are listening back to the recording, you can hear my breathing noise like quite clearly. And I'm not really a fan of that. Maybe I'm just kind of a perfectionist when it comes to editing, right? But I'm not going to edit anyway, so who cares? It's just going to be me talking to you and hopefully it's not too annoying. So today we are going to be talking about annoying things too, the 10 pet peeves. Is it 10? I wrote down 10 on my notes, but it's just pet peeves that annoys me. I think the reason why I want to talk about this is just an accumulation of small and big frustrations in the recent month that led me to this point. Just frustrations with dating apps, with my dating life, frustrations with my healthiness, my physical being, frustration with small things like slow walkers. So one of the first things that really annoys me, a pet peeve, right, is slow walkers. I don't get why people have to walk so slowly. Generally, when it comes to me, right, when I walk with purpose. I want to get from point A to point B to do my thing as quickly as possible. I'm not going to rush it, but at least I know I'm walking and I'm walking at quite a higher, quicker pace than general people, right? Because I'm quite tall and I'm kind of impatient when it comes to just getting things done. And it's pretty annoying. I suppose if you're in town, right, it's acceptable. You can take your time, you can window shop. That's reasonable. And I don't blame them. I have no issues with that. But the problem is when it comes to slow walkers, right, in your nearby malls, your CBDs, your nearby mall, what can you shop? Nothing to shop about, right? Of course, I'm referring to the place I'm living. If you're living in Yishun, Woodlands, or Tampines, maybe people might shop here and there. But I'm referring to smaller town areas where, like smaller city. No, I wouldn't even say city areas. Just smaller places, right, where you have small malls. People just go there to get their shit done. And there's no need to walk so slow. But if people just walk very slow, and I don't get what they're doing, just slowly, like, taking their time in the world and like have zero awareness. I think the worst part is zero awareness. People going past you, people are getting stuck behind you and you still standing there, especially the ones where like they are completely blocking the walkway. When you like maybe try to go through the escalator, go through the pathway, right? Then you just stand there like, what are you doing? Why you stand there? Use your phone for what? Right? Like, auntie, move aside. It's like, it's annoying lah, but I can't hold people up to that kind of high standards. I hold myself too. Like, I'm like way too self-conscious, you know, and like sometimes I just wish that I can don't be that self-conscious, because like I'm aware of my surrounding, and I don't want to block people, I don't want to ruin people's days. I can imagine myself walking through and this bugger blocking me, and especially I think the worst kind, right, is like, it's something related to MRT also. When you take the escalator, right, you go up or you go down, and either way works. And usually you stand on the left hand side, right, so that right hand side people can kind of climb up or climb down, because they are urgent, they need to go somewhere, they need to faster board the train, right? So you're leaving the right side open. The worst kind, right, is I think especially when it goes down, escalators that goes down, you walk all the way down, the person walk all the way down, and you follow the person behind because you want to get somewhere, alright? Then the person stops right at the end of the escalator. So you know, like before it descends into a horizontal plateau, right? Like just when you're going to reach, the person stops. Then like, what the fuck are you doing? You are taking this pathway, right, is to faster get off this escalator and go to your place, alright? And to get out of the gantry or get to the train. Why do you want to stop, right? Why do you have to stop there? It doesn't make sense. Are you scared of the gap? Are you scared of like the the escalator, the gap will eat you. Like why? What's the logic, man? And I think this brings me to another pet peeve of mine when it comes to taking MRT or just taking escalator in general. I don't know, man. I feel that anybody that is young or our age or millennials or younger, you should know how to take escalator, all right? When you okay, so the best optimal way, right, that everybody should be taking the escalator, how they board the escalator is you when you go to the escalator, when you reach the ascending point, right, you should immediately step on the platform, not caring about whether the because some not some the escalator will break off, right, into like staircase. You should step on it, then you adjust yourself because all the escalator is made in such a way where the ascension, right, will be straight first for like maybe 1 to 2 seconds, so you can make the adjustments when you hop on it. You don't have to stand before the ascension and wait for the right moment, like a game like that, like some sort of Mario game. You're waiting for that right panel to come out, then you jump on it. It doesn't work that way, man. You're just clogging up the lane. You're making it worse, and especially when it comes to situations where a lot of people is like in the mall during weekends, and you stand there staring at the ground, waiting for the moment to come. Like, hey, bro, hey, auntie, nobody teach you how to take escalator, man. You take escalator for so long already. At least you should know, right? And I realized something. Nobody teaches how to take escalator. I don't think your parents will teach you, right? It just kind of comes innately. Or maybe I'm just kind of too dumb to remember. I don't remember my parents teaching me how to take an escalator, or I was too young back then. But overall, I think this is the optimal way, and it's annoying when people have to stand there and look at the panel. Yeah, and this is we are starting small first. Besides the MRT part, the second, not, I don't think it's second really, it's just a bunch of things. The other one that kind of annoys me, right, is those people who don't order their, who don't like decide their food first before they order it. They wait in the queue. Sometimes they might be alone. That's even a bigger problem, right? Like you're not talking to your friend. I mean, if you're talking to your friend, then you reach the counter, you haven't decided yet. That's reasonable. That's okay. I can accept that. But when you're alone, you are not even deciding. You just wait until the counter. You reach the counter already, right? Then you start looking at the menu, staring like, oh, what you want to buy? I think that's bloody annoying, lah. To be honest, like, come on, this is not your first time buying McDonald's, man. Just buy the damn food, choose the damn food. And you're not buying for other people. I mean, okay, if you are buying for other people, you need to check. That's still alright. Okay, pisses me off a little. But if you're buying for yourself, if you're buying one single item, right? Like one meal for yourself, that pisses me off. Like bro, just make your decision before you reach. Then why you need to go there I want to get this. You can ask a bunch of questions like, come on, this is not your first day buying McDonald's, right? Okay, I mean, it's just complaints that I generally, right, I like to complain a lot about things, and I've been very how do I say, wary of that, aware of that I try to not complain about things. Like I think especially food, I don't know, I think I pick up this trait from my father where anything also need to comment one. Anything about food, anything in life will comment, will be negative about it. And that is something that I try to really avoid it. When it comes to food, I should just say if it's bad or okay, if it's not terrible, then I would say it's alright. It's good, it's fine. I try to look for the better part of things lah, I suppose. And when people recommend stuff, I'll just act like I like it. Because I think in the past I thought, you know, being truthful, like this relates back to the episode where I talk about being tactful and being too direct. This relates back to that, where sometimes, you know, it's never a good thing. People recommend you out their goodwill, they are nice, they are kind, they want to share the joy of something they find enjoyable, right? So that really isn't, it doesn't serve you, it doesn't help them, right? By you being negative. If you be positive in that moment and find the good in that moment, in those stuff that they share with you, right? At least it brings them more joy. So it's that mentality shift lor, that I'm trying to embody, that I try to commit to every day whenever these kind of things happen. I mean, I don't have to You know, being direct kind of makes me feel like satisfied and happy, and I feel that like people should know. But at the same time, that might not be the best kind of a consequence, right? Like sometimes you can take this kind of line of action that you think that is correct, but the consequences are wrong. So that's reality, that's life, right? You can do good things, but then the outcome can be bad. I mean, that's how dictators happen, right? They think that they are doing good thing, but end up the consequences are bad, right? They are thinking very narrowly, very self-centered. And in this case, it's more of shifting from being self-centered to I don't know, people or friends oriented in this case. Yeah. So that's that. Another thing that really triggers me, this is something we're getting a bit broader now, a bit more personal, which is people who lie without batting an eye. For some reason, right, I don't know, it's just deep down, I don't have some sort of trauma that led to this, just something that's very innate that I hate it when people are able to just lie without even, how do I say, you know, some people lie, you can tell, but then those people who lie and you can't tell and they come up with very elaborate lies, that's the worst. And even though it doesn't mean me any harm, like, okay, so we have a friend, right? Okay, maybe not a friend, but okay, like I would say it's acquaintance / friend, but we are not super close, we don't hang out every time, that he comes up with very elaborate lies, right? But it doesn't harm us. And when we found out that a lot of these things that he say, right, is a lie, we just found it very funny. But then to me, right, okay, I found it funny first. We have this insider joke and everything. However, the issue here is that, I don't know, just when people lie, right, it makes me very wary of them. Like, I'm not very, like, they can't be trusted, lor. I feel that all my friends, I need to be able to trust them. And this also leads to another point where, that I find pretty annoying, which is friends who are not vulnerable. And this is something that I'm trying to grapple with near the age of 30, I would say, that there are different kind of friends. There are different closeness or different level of intimacy, right? And at the same time, these different friends that are on different intimate levels doesn't work in a very straight line. You know, they can be intimate with you in certain areas of their life. They could be like, you know, they're a geek, they're interested in superhero stuff. Then you guys can be intimate in that way. But that might not mean that they are going to be intimate with you in terms of their personal relationships or their lives. Even though you hang out with your friend every day, you hang out with that friend every day, it does not necessarily mean that, you know, like I have this assumption. I think in the past, right, I always see it as a linear line where I get very confused where how come this person, you know, we are very close. We talk about this kind of like, let's say I'm interested in basketball. Then we talk about basketball every time. But then I thought, you know, as a result of this closeness through basketball, right, he would share all these like close things about like when he goes through a breakup. I thought my friend would tell me. But actually that's not true. You know, that's where I suppose life and complexities come in, right? Like some people are not that open. Some people compartmentalize. They decide to be, you know, open with you when it comes to their hobby like basketball, but they are not particularly open about their own personal life. And that's something that I realized, that not everybody is keen or they wear their hearts on their sleeves. And I always kind of, I feel that I'm selfish in a way where when it comes to my thinking, I always use myself as a point of view, right, to extrapolate onto others. And I realize there are different kind of points of views, right, because I'm quite open and I wear my hearts on my sleeves and I don't mind sharing whatever shit I have in life. And that's why I think as a result, I also demand the same thing. I feel that I use that as a benchmark to determine who I can rely on and who can be truly trusted and be a true, like a 100% pure friend in this case, right? And I think the recent times, like recently, it really kind of just make me like reevaluate this mentality, right? This very extreme kind of mentality. Maybe it's extreme, maybe it's not to some people. But I feel that I just need to, my outlook needs to be more adaptable to different kinds of points of view, right? And in this case, of course, my value and my things that I really expect still stands, as in, you know, those true friends are those who are vulnerable, who shares everything. Because when they share everything, I would say it's easier to trust them. They don't really lie because they just share everything, right? And it's harder for me to trust those who don't share everything, because I share everything, right? And when people try and hide things from you, and when you think that you're close to them but they still don't share these kind of things, then I don't know. That's why, yeah, I think that's something I'm trying to grapple with right now. I'm trying to accept the fact that not everybody is going to share everything with you, and it's alright. And even though they don't share everything to you, you still hang out and you can still be friends, and you can still depend on them to some extent, right? Because like, there's always this challenge where I share all these things with you, you don't share it back to me, then I feel like it's not like I'm losing on my end, right? I'm losing profit on my end. It doesn't work that way. This is relationships, human relationships, not business, right? It just feels, I mean, you don't return in kind, then it feels a bit odd lah. I think it's just something I want to grapple with, that sometimes these friends are just nice. They are just too conservative. They are not going to share with you, but it's alright if you share with them, because they are your friends that you hang out with, that you are close with, that your relationship lasts for, like, you know, you have known each other for 3 to 5 years already, right? Or even longer. So that's something that I have to, I suppose, work to accept. Next thing is, okay, this is something that I think I got mentioned in the previous episodes before. It's more of workplace scenario. I think I'm just very happy, right, that my current workplace don't have this kind of people. But this reminds me of the times where the previous workplace I interned at, they have this kind of people, which is strange. It's men. Generally, this not really generally, this applies to men. There's, for some reason, right, men with power like to establish their dominance. I mean, common sense, right? It is what it is. It is like that one. And especially, workplace is like a jungle, right? People with power is going to demonstrate their power. However, I mean, the issue here really, right, with me, like, for me with this thing, is that I don't get why people need to do that. I don't get why people, men with power, needs to establish dominance, especially, like, this happens a lot when you are an intern, or even like a entry level staff. You have like a manager, then it's like some micro actions that one that trying to prove dominance here. When you make a mistake, when you become when you're clumsy, maybe you spit your foot out, or you drew, or I don't know, drew doesn't really make much sense, but maybe you trip on the floor or something. Or maybe your hobbies are weird or whatever. These people, these men with power, right, like to find these kind of opportunities and laugh at those situations. It's like in secondary school again, where you have these kind of micro actions where people just like to, I don't know, it's very demeaning, I feel. And you see that they don't do that to people of the same power, men of the same power, or men of higher power. And that is something that, like, why? I mean, we are in the workplace, we are a team, we are working together, let's keep it nice and friendly, right? And when these kind of things happen and doesn't happen to other people that is of the same rank or higher, right? Then this becomes like it annoys me, like, why target me? I mean, if you do this to me and you do this to another person that is of the similar rank or higher, right? I'm alright with it. I can see you as somebody that's playful. Maybe you are very, maybe you have a different kind of view of things. Maybe you are just a joker or whatever it is. And it's alright. I can accept that. You know, some people like to joke. Some people are open with, they are very tactless, or they are very direct with this kind of their opinions of things, right? Their sense of humor is different. It's alright. And when you see them doing this to you only, that annoys me to no end. I'm not harming you. Why do you need to do that? Right? Okay, so that's that. I feel that I'm repeating myself at this point. The next thing is people who ask you why you're so quiet and ask you to contribute. Yeah, this annoys me to some extent. I'm kind of like a introvert here, and as an introvert, I'm just appreciative of my uni friends now, where they are not those people who will ask you to contribute. They accept who you are, and I feel that I have friends who have very high EQ and like socially aware. If they see that you're quiet, right, they will prompt you and they will ask you, they will make an attempt to connect with you in group conversations. And that is something that I notice and appreciate. I try my best to kind of emulate and to become like them. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm an introvert and my energy is very low. And I only contribute when I have things to say. That's that. But the thing here really that annoys me is more of like, I don't get why people, generally those people who ask you why you're so quiet are those who are not aware also. They are not aware of who you are. They are not aware of like introverts. And some people who say these things, right, are also introverts too, where they don't even, they are not even aware of it themselves, right? Where, I don't know, it just feels like it adds unnecessary pressure. And at this point, I just gonna be honest, okay, deviating a bit. I keep on catching myself saying the same words. It's just maybe it's a OCD thing, perfectionist thing. I try to avoid using the same words over and over again. I can't, it's me lah. I think as a Singaporean, our vocab is very limited. Once I started doing this podcast, it really like seared into my head really. And whenever people keep on using the same words, especially Malaysian and Singaporeans, they always use the same. Our English is not so good to the point where we can articulate very well, right? And I keep on hearing Singaporeans always say, yeah, I know, right? I mean, you see Americans do that, like all this right, you know. But it's not as bad as ours. Like, okay, we use but also a lot. And, but, then. I don't know, it just maybe it's just part of me trying to make this better. Okay, I deviated quite a fair bit. Anyway, yeah, I don't like it when people ask me to contribute. I just want to contribute when I want to. The next thing that I find annoying, or maybe it deeply frustrates me, it's not really annoying anymore, it's not pet peeve. It's just on dating apps, people like to put traveling, like they like to travel. And it doesn't make sense, you see. It becomes like the 5 C's of like the degeneration, right? But this is not a C, this is traveling. It doesn't make sense at all. Because everybody likes traveling. Then you putting traveling, right? How does it separate you from other people? I like traveling too, you like traveling too. Then what other things do you like? It's like the starter pack, or I think for those people who uses Reddit a lot, or you know, use watches, or I don't know, sees a lot of memes, or they like memes, you will see this meme called starter pack. So it usually is a stereotype of people. Then on a dating app, the stereotype is like, I like to travel, I don't know, spontaneous. I suppose spontaneous also relates to traveling, just saying I want to go Bangkok now and I just fly during this weekend. And I don't know, maybe it's just me wanting more. Me just hoping that people can be less superficial, but it's the app lah. The app is superficial. There's no choice, right? It's just annoying. Where is your personality just traveling? Can you share more about yourself? And I try to hold myself to that standard. So I share more. I don't put traveling. Everybody likes traveling, really. Why put traveling, right? And it's just a bit sian lah. It's like if you think about Singaporean life. Like it's also a kind of like a reflection of our lifestyle, right? All we can do in Singapore is just work and then travel. And then during the weekends, what do you do? Maybe you work, maybe you watch shows, watch Netflix, and that's all to life. And at this age, I guess, maybe I'm reaching this point early, or maybe it's just a general trend where everybody just kind of realize like, ah, is that all to life? Is that all to a Singaporean life where you, like, I think I mentioned a lot of times before, you study O levels, you graduate, you go to JC or you go to poly, you graduate, you go to uni, you graduate, you find a job, you graduate. You find a job, then you get married, then you get a house. And during this time, all you do is, you wake up, you go to work, weekends you watch shows, once a year you go overseas. If you are a director or if you are investment banker, you reach, then you be spontaneous. Then you sometimes weekends you fly to Bangkok. Then that's all you do. You rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. But is that all to life? Right? I don't know. I'm asking more than that. But what other things is there in life? And I can't tell you what is there other things. Lah. I mean, if I think about what makes me happy, it's like my social relationships, friendships, work life, contribution to society. Like, what is missing? I feel that something is missing. It feels too repetitive. It feels very same-ish. It's not fun. It's not unique experiences. And me being in this life, like, it's once in the lifetime, right? You die, then you die, really. I want something interesting. And I'm trying to find that. As I reach 30s, I'm like, am I going to live this for the rest of my life? Like, I don't think so, man. But when you don't have money, that's challenging. You have to, and it's not just a money thing. I'm trying not to just keep on attributing it to money, right? Like, where should I go? I need to find something. Yeah, so that's the logic here. Anyway, yeah, that's all for today. I think I talked about 26 minutes already. I guess that's enough time. And I'm getting a little bit like thirsty really. I want to drink water. Yeah. Okay, so that's the end. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I will see you guys next time. For those of you who have been listening for quite some time, you might want to consider supporting the podcast. So for as cheap as a taping, you can get an additional podcast per month, and then you also, you know, contribute to creating the video podcast and the live stream setup. Hopefully in the future, I mean, if this gets big enough. Still not there yet, but hopefully, really, I hope one day I can just do live streams and I can just talk. And I every Sunday morning or Friday night, whatever it is, I just talk. We just have conversations and I record it as a podcast. Then I put this on the channel or whatever it is, right? On this channel that you're listening on right now. So we have two podcasts. We have a personal one that talk about a specific topic, and then a second one which is more commentary, bantering, or just conversations, right? Yeah. So I'll see you guys next time.